So where are we? At this point, we're at the fifth parsha in the book of Genesis. We've run through some major stories, Adam and Eve, the creation of the world, Noah and the flood. We've been introduced to Abraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and now we're at the birth of Jacob and his brother Esau. There's been plenty of family feud already. Yet when it comes to Jacob and Esau, although there is a showdown, which we will be discussing over the next couple of weeks, it starts actually in utero, which is a very unique concept. So the story goes as follows, as recounted by the Torah, that Rivka gets pregnant, and it wasn't an easy pregnancy, both from the standpoint that it wasn't easy for her to get pregnant. Note the fact that for our forefathers, our matriarchs and our patriarchs, pregnancy and giving birth wasn't so simple. When she does finally get pregnant, she has twins in her womb. So it wasn't an ordinary pregnancy, and it was a difficult pregnancy, and she went to inquire of Hashem of what is taking place. She was in such pain, and there was something internally taking place that she simply needed some answers. And she went and she asked of God, and she's told that you have two nations in your womb, and each of them represent a different kind of life, and they're both pulling towards their respective kind of life. Now we know indeed she did have two children, which represent two nations, and very mighty nations that descends from those two children, Jacob and Esau. Jacob is obviously the forefather of all of Judaism, very familiar with us, as we say in our prayers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And as the story continues, they really do have contention between each other because they were all striving for a different kind of life. Yaakov, as we see straight away, was Ishtam. He was an individual that sat and studied. He was inward, and he was into the intellectual pursuit, connecting with the transcendent divine. Esau, on the other hand, was the hunter type. He spent his time in the field. He was hunting, he was conquering, he was capturing, he was destroying. He was an extrovert, if you will. But it wasn't merely the personalities, it was the focus on what each of them were focused on. Now, the obvious question is, how could it be that they were so different in utero? How could it be that Esau, the son of Isaac, gravitated towards more problematic areas, as the Torah describes, in terms of his conduct? Idolatry, infidelity, etc., etc. Herein, there's the obvious question about the nature of a person and the culpability of a person. Let's just use the words freedom of choice. Esau in utero already had a tendency to do so. We know so because both of them in utero, before they were born, already were warring and struggling one with another. Very clearly, they both were different. Very clearly, they both were aspiring for something different. And yet, they hadn't yet been born, and central and fundamental to the Jewish belief is the concept of freedom of choice. Each person is not predestined to become something. They actually have the freedom and the choice to choose on what they become. I mean, we tell that to our children. You could be whatever you want. You just have to work to it, towards it. You have to aspire to it, etc. So was it a fait accompli of who Esav would become, that he wouldn't be from the most admirable individuals, despite the fact that he was the son of Yitzchak? Is it his fault? We see in utero he was already struggling against Yaakov, and he already had tendencies that seemed to be challenging in terms of ethical, moral, and transcendent kind of life. And the answer, as Maimonides brings down, he says there are two ways to serve God. The first way to serve God is sort of like the inherent good individual who gravitates towards good, who has an appreciation for the ethereal, for the transcendent, for godliness. He has in his tendency, in his nature already inbuilt a certain personality which really lends itself and drives him towards that kind of life. But then you have the vivacious individual, the one with a tendency to go out there, to be attracted to interpersonal relationships, salacious behavior, highly energetic, unruly, experimental, a live-on-the-edge kind of guy. And that individual can also excel in service of God. In fact, in a way, that person can excel even greater than the individual who has it within his tendency to be attracted to this, the docile, submissive, and toe-the-line kind of individual. So, no, it was not a fait accompli as to who Esav was going to become. Neither was it a fait accompli as to Yaakov would become. It was in their hands for them both to pursue the transcendent, holy, admirable, ethical, and moral life. Despite the fact that each and every one of us, and let's apply this to ourselves, have a different tendency. Yes, some of us, we like to follow rules. Some of us like to break rules. Some of us enjoy going to synagogue. Some of us are bored in synagogue. Some of us like to learn Torah. Others don't have the patience for it. Nonetheless, each and every one of us have that ability to take our personalities and to direct it towards the service of God. And perhaps the less submissive we are, the greater our service to God is, because it takes self-control, because it actually takes refinement, because it takes effort. And perhaps we are not perfect. If the more we have to work on ourselves, the less perfect we are inherently. But the reward for that is all the greater, because it's a greater service of God. It's submit. It's us working on ourselves in a manner of avodah, hard work. Yes, relationship with God and with Judaism, with Torah is hard work, but at the end of it, it is oh so fulfilling. It is oh so beautiful. And no, none of us are born a certain way. Each of us have to create it. From the story of Yaakov and Esav, we learn two individuals who had different tendencies, but each of them had the ability to achieve, become, prosper, and make this world a better place. So the order of the day for me and you is to take our unique, each of us, our unique talents in our respective places and channel it with our enthusiasm and with our energy towards making this world a better place, a place that God dwells, and perfect this world so that we're ready for the coming of Mashiach.